From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Dave DeForest reporting. A U.S. show of support for Iraq after several days of finger-pointing by U.S. and Iraqi officials seeking to blame each other for Islamic State advances. U.S. Vice President Joe Biden Monday reaffirmed U.S. support for the Iraqi government. Meanwhile, Iraqi forces are hoping to retake the city of Ramadi, as we hear from Edward Uranian.
Iraqi government forces fought Islamic State militants east of the Anbar capital of Ramadi amid unconfirmed reports of minor government gains. The Iraqi government's struggle to regain ground lost to Islamic State was downplayed by Iraqi Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi, who told the BBC his forces would retake the Anbar provincial capital of Ramadi within days. Iraqi TV also showed Abadi meeting the new Anbar police chief, making a similar claim. Edward Uranian, Cairo.
Turkey's foreign minister says his government has agreed in principle with the United States to provide air protection to Syrian rebels being trained to fight Islamic State militants in Syria. A U.S. official told VOA there were ongoing discussions with Turkish officials, but that no decisions have been made. Malaysia's police chief says 139 graves believed to contain the remains of migrants have been found near the country's border with Thailand. He says some of the graves contain more than one body. Police and anti-government protesters fought Monday in Burundi. At least one demonstrator in the capital Bujumbura was wounded when police opened fire. The French news agency reports police shot and killed a protester near the town of Muyange. Meanwhile, the opposition quit peace talks with the government after a party leader died in a Saturday shooting incident. This is VOA News. Human rights group Amnesty International says there is overwhelming evidence of ongoing war crimes in Ukraine, despite the tentative ceasefire. Henry Ridgewell reports from London.
Prisoners from both sides of the war interviewed by Amnesty described being beaten until their bones broke, tortured with electric shocks, stabbed, hung from the ceiling, deprived of sleep for days, or subjected to mock executions. Those committing the abuses on both sides appear to have various motives, says Amnesty's Joanne Mariner.
They were interrogated about where weapons were hidden, who commanders were, etc., information that would be considered intelligence. Other people seem to have been beaten just purely for retaliatory reasons as vengeance.
Neither separatist groups nor the Ukrainian government have responded to the accusations. Henry Ridgewell, London.
President Barack Obama has laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknowns as part of his observance of the annual Memorial Day holiday in the United States. The ceremony at Arlington National Cemetery was attended by dignitaries, military personnel, and the families of veterans. Speaking at the ceremony, Mr. Obama remembered the men and women who have died to secure the United States' liberty and to keep its citizens safe.
Like generations of heroes before them, these Americans gave everything they had. Not for glory, not even for gratitude, but for something greater than themselves.
He also noted that this is the first Memorial Day since direct U.S. participation in the Afghan War came to an end. Rescue workers in the central U.S. states of Texas and Oklahoma searched Monday for 12 missing people they believe were swept away in floods. Already, the flooding has left three people dead and has destroyed at least 400 houses. Two U.S. fighter jets escorted an Air France passenger plane to a safe landing in New York Monday morning after a chemical weapons threat was made against the aircraft. The anonymous threat prompted the military to scramble the F-15 jets as Air France Flight 22 from Paris arrived at New York's John F. Kennedy International Airport. The threat was later deemed not credible and the plane cleared. Authorities in Afghanistan said Monday at least five people were killed and more than 60 wounded when a suicide bomber drove his explosives-packed vehicle into the gate of a government building in the southern province of Zabul. The bombing targeted the provincial council's office in Kalat. A Tunisian soldier opened fire on fellow troops Monday, killing seven and wounding 10 before he was shot and killed. Authorities said the attack occurred at the Bouchoukou base in Tunis, not far from where two Islamist gunmen opened fire on tourists at a museum in March, killing 21. I'm Dave DeForest.
That's the latest world news from VOA.